Utah knows what it means to be earthquake ready.
Epicenter Magna, Utah. It was 5.7.
Today, Dave and Dejanovic mark the 2024 Great Utah Shakeout. Listen this hour as Be Ready Utah joins Dave and Debbie for the preparation and planning your family needs for the next emergency on KSL News Radio.
We're going to talk to Be Ready Utah in just a moment about the top three things to prepare for earthquakes. But after the Magna earthquake in 2020, first of all, I counted my blessings that nobody got seriously injured. We didn't lose any lives. We knew we lost some buildings or things had to be retrofitted because of the earthquake. But I went home, checked my house, and then I called up my insurance agent. And to be ready for the next one, I got earthquake insurance for the first time in my home ownership life. And
I did the same thing. I know. But one thing to remember, though, is there is a grace period. So when we signed up for earthquake insurance, it doesn't go into effect, I think, for 30 days or so. So if it's something that you're interested in, just be aware. There's usually a 30-day grace period
A waiting period before it actually kicks in.
Yeah.
Jeff Johnson with Be Ready Utah live on the line. We're at Evergreen Junior High. We're about 8 minutes away from Dave drop covering and holding on. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. Happy Shakeout Day.
It's great to talk to you. Are you guys up at the Capitol right now?
Yeah, we're in the State Emergency Operations Center going over. To be prepared.
Yeah, with the Division of Emergency Management leading out on this, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes to chat with us. But I think it's really important on a day like today to remind all of us, you know, give us your go-to list, your top three things that you want us to know, Jeff, to be prepared for an earthquake.
Well, there's a couple of top three lists. I'm going to go over one with you in this segment that might save lives. And that's the first one is seek a safe spot. Make sure you know where to go during an earthquake. And that means if you're at home in the kitchen or home in the family room, if you're at home somewhere else in your house, what are you going to do if that starts shaking? When I went through a 7.7 earthquake in Japan, I was sitting on a couch and had no idea what to do. And so find a safe spot. If you're at work, you're at the grocery store, because really, if you don't survive the earthquake, all your other preparedness plans really don't matter a lot. So it's really important that you survive. And with that, I would say, you know, what we're going to do here in about 7 or 8 minutes, drop, cover, and hold on, and practice that. So when your brain clicks off, when everything starts falling around you and furniture is moving, you have practiced and trained and are ready to implement a life-saving protective action, and that's to drop, cover, and hold on. And that hold on part is really important. Simply, I got underneath a table in my earthquake in Japan, and the table immediately left me. And that's why you need to hold on, because I was crawling across the broken glass and everything on the floor,
wow,
trying to catch up to the table that was moving across the room. So
Jeff,
you drop.
That is incredible,
under.
First of all. Number one, you kind of slipped that in a little bit that you've been in a 7.7 earthquake. That is,
yeah,
if I'm doing the math right, that's 1,000 times bigger than what we experienced here in Utah.
That is correct. It was life-changing.
Did you catch up to the table, or did the table slide? I need to hear the end of the story.
I caught up to the table and grabbed the front two legs with my hands and hooked my ankles around the back legs, and that's where I rode the earthquake. I was sliding around on the floor underneath the table and watch the earthquake happen.
Is that similar to the big one that we expect to happen here?
We could have a 7 to 7.5, so not quite as large, but really similar. And, yeah, it is what we could expect here, at least along the Wasatch Front. Other places in the state don't have that great of an expectation. But here, yeah, we do.
Jeff Johnson with Be Ready Utah live on the line with us. He's at the Emergency Operations Center for the State Capitol, where everybody there, also us here at Evergreen Junior High and kids all across the Wasatch Front, and also, you know, people who are, you know, sitting at work right now getting ready to practice their earthquake drill. It's the Great Shakeout. Jeff, when you talk about an earthquake of that size, what I'm thinking is if you're drop covering and holding on and you're holding on tight, like it sounds like you got that table in a headlock and you were doing some sort of wrestler move once you caught up to the thing to not let go. Is the main thing, the main objective to cover your head? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah. If you can't, cover your whole body if you can.
Okay.
I mean, get under something large enough to protect your whole body. If you can't, yes, then cover your head. I've seen some demonstrations where even if you're sitting in an auditorium and you just flip the chair over and put your hair under your head underneath it, and because your head is the most important part to protect. But again, I'd go back and try to identify safe spots in your work, at the grocery store, anywhere you can think of, and make sure you have those in your head so you're not trying to determine that at that moment when your life's being threatened.
How long should we prepare? Like, how long does an earthquake typically last?
The severe shaking is going to last anywhere from 15 to 30 seconds. And then there could be some ground shaking that runs out for a minute or two. Mine, it ran 2 minutes and 20 seconds, entire time that you could feel the ground shaking. But the real severe shaking, those P waves that hit that cause the building just to start coming apart and everything to move around, are going to last 15 to 30 seconds, usually in a very large quake.
Jeff, you were saying when you were in that 7.7 in Japan, you said something about crawling over a glass to catch up with the table that was scooting away from you during that quake. Something I really hadn't thought about is broken glass. So should we be looking for places that are away from windows?
Most, yes, you should. Glass is dangerous. Don't go near any doors that have glass that go to the outside. The building is usually twisted. Depending on the direction the waves are coming from, the building is usually twisted, and that twisting almost shatters all the glass. And so as you and Dave look around your office right now, you need to say, these windows, these glass walls, these doors are probably going to break, and where do I need to be away from that falling glass and then not maneuvering across that glass on the ground. So glass breaks in large earthquakes. We lost all of our windows in the building I was in.
The drop, cover, and hold on message is so simple to understand, but I'm also a pretty big guy. I'm 6 feet, 6 inches tall. I don't fit in every place. So you're saying prioritize your head, make sure that is covered, but in an ideal situation, you're protecting the entire body.
Yeah, here in a few minutes, you're going to get a chance to practice that, and if it doesn't work, you need to come up with a plan B. My problem was at my work previously, I had too much stuff under my desk, and on the shakeout day, I found that out. It was really a helpful thing to learn that I was having a hard time getting underneath my desk because I had preparedness emergency stuff under my desk. And so this is why the shakeout is so important. It gives you a chance to practice this, to put this physical memory in your head, and also to make sure that you can get under someplace that you can fit. And yeah, Dave, you are a big guy. And so you might want to, after today, figure out how you're going to fit your entire body underneath that studio desk.
Jeff, he's not sharing space with me if this thing happens. He better clear out all the garbage that's piled high under his newsroom desk. Jeff Johnson with Be Ready Utah. What great advice. Just first person actually in that 7.7 quake in Japan. Thank you so much explaining to us what to look out for. And it's time, Dave. We're 15 seconds away from the great shakeout. And I'm going to let you get under this plastic desk.
The first one?
Dave and I are going to drop. We invite you to join us if you're in a place to do so. Drop, cover, and hold
feel
on.
Feel the shaking coming.
Feel the shaking. What are you?
There we go. I'm under.
Hey, no, that's my pull. Don't hold on to that.
You're not holding on to
anything. This is okay. Good thing you have me with you. All right. We're back in a few minutes after the great shakeout drill wraps up.
It's the Great Utah Shakeout. Dave and Debbie are live from Evergreen Junior High in the Granite School District on KSL News Radio.
Well, Dave got a D on the Great Shakeout Drill. He dropped, he covered, but he forgot to hold on. So that's a 66%
wow
fail.
A harsh curve.
We're going to make you do it a few more times during the show here, Dave, and see if you can get it right. You're getting everything else right in this show, but you got to get the earthquake drill right. The Great Utah Shakeout happening about 6 minutes ago was just a drill. It was only a drill, but it also gives us a lot of information, just what we need to, of things we need to work on, Dave.
The thing I've always chuckled about is when we had our earthquake and we didn't know how big it was. We're experiencing it. We have no reference point. Wade Matthews joins us right now from the Department of Emergency Management. That's part of it, Wade, is we have no idea when the ground starts shaking if this is going to be a monster or if it's just going to be a little rattler.
I think Wade is very tied up on their drill still up at the Emergency Operations Center, Dave, up at the Capitol. Mm. So we're still trying to get him back on the line. So I heard, you know, you just talked to him moments ago. Here, there you are, Wade. Hi.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah. So Dave was asking, yeah, we can hear you. Dave was just asking a question. He'll re-ask it.
So
okay, sorry.
One of the things that I realized when we were going through our, I guess, little quake is we have no idea what is going on. When the ground starts shaking, we don't know if this is the big one. We don't know if it's a small one because there's really no reference there. And I think, does that kind of speak to you take it all very seriously as if it is the big one?
Absolutely. Yeah, that is a really good point, Dave, too. It's like when the ground starts shaking, we don't know how bad it's going to be. And it could be a moderate one like the Magna quake or something much larger. We know the Wasatch Fault could produce an earthquake up to a magnitude 7.5, which would be 100 times greater than the Magna quake. So yeah, you just treat it all the same, and the shaking may last different lengths of time as well. It could be a short one, you know, a minute long earthquake is what we kind of practice in shakeout. That's a really long quake, 20, 30 seconds. But yeah, the protective action is the same regardless.
One of the things we were just talking with Jeff Johnson about moments ago, when he called the show and gave us tips to be ready, Wade, is that as you're practicing this drill, he said when he practiced the drill, he recognized that the area under his desk was just packed with too many things. I think we tend to use our desks or the under part of our desk as storage. I know I had like cases of water under my desk for a while because I thought, well, we need water in an earthquake maybe. So I'll store cases of water under my desk for everybody. And then I now realize I'll probably have to use my desk as a place to take cover and hold on because it's just basically, you know, like just a perfect place to fit under. So these are the things that the Great Shakeout really teaches us, and these are our takeaways, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a good time to do an assessment, an office hazard hunt or a home hazard hunt, and make sure that you've got some places identified around your office or home that you could do drop, cover, and hold on. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean a desk, table, a chair, but yeah, have some place like that or up against a wall without glass or other objects overhead. You know, again, this is we plan for the worst, hope for the best. We do the best we can with what we have. And, you know, there may be times when we did drop cover and hold on and we did get underneath our desk or table or chair and we get trapped. We might be stuck there for a while until rescuers come in and start doing searching. And maybe it might be helpful to have some water under the desk there, as you mentioned, Debbie. So, again, we plan for the worst, hope for the best. There's no guarantees, but we do know that these are going to give us the best chance of coming out okay.
Drop, cover, and hold on is so great in the moment. What happens after it's all done? What's the best recommendation? Are we trying to evacuate the building? When do we know when it's safe to come back in?
Yeah, good question there. So, yeah, absolutely evacuate the building because we know we don't run into or out of a building during the shaking, but after the shaking has stopped, you've done your drop, cover, and hold on. Go outside, do a quick visual inspection. Even yourselves, you know, hopefully eventually we'll have trained professional inspectors that will come around to big buildings and offices and so on and inspect these after an earthquake. But just do a quick visual inspection. Is the building tilted a little bit? Is it twisted off of its foundation? Are there cracks or broken windows and things like that? And if you question the safety of it, don't go back inside because we know what follows an earthquake are more earthquakes called aftershocks. But those are just additional earthquakes that could cause additional damage to damaged buildings. So, yeah, check those out before you're going back inside.
Wade Matthews with the Division of Emergency Management has been corralling hundreds of thousands of participants across the state for the Great Utah Shakeout. I just checked your website. It said 930,000 people had committed to signing up for this drill. Congratulations, first of all. That's 50,000 more than it looks like you had last year, if I'm just reading that map right, Wade. What's the one takeaway that you want people to really focus on after this drill, after this year's drill?
You know, this is a great time to just evaluate your total overall disaster plans, individual plans, family plans, office plans. You know, look at your food storage. How much water do you have stored? How much food storage do you have stored? What would you do in a long-term power outage? You know, we anticipate after a major earthquake on the Wasatch Fault, there will be many areas without power and water for not just days or weeks, but possibly months. So it's going to have a major impact. So it's a good time to really just review your total overall emergency plans and start having that emergency that preparedness mindset. Yeah. Just think about preparedness all the time.
Thanks, Wade. Wade Matthews with the Division of Emergency Management. We hope everything went well with the drill up at the Capitol and all across Utah. There's a lot of things that I have taken action step toward, Dave, since we started a couple of years ago going all in with the Division of Emergency Management and being more prepared. And I was thinking, you know, I really skated for a lot of years. Like, I was identifying the neighbors' homes that I was going to go to for food and water, you know. But now I'm that neighbor that I know that people can come to my home if they need to because I have water storage, something I hadn't had for many years. I had a couple of cases of water from Costco, but now I actually have the water jugs, and I made sure there was something that I could pick up. They're about 3-4 gallons each. There's something that I can move if I need to. When my dog was still alive, I had two separate containers set aside for Riley because I was like, oh, he's going to need water too. I have plenty of food to last me for a month. And now I know what to do in terms of, you know, where I'm going to hide in my home if I drop cover and hold on. And everything that I own that's, you know, needs to be attached to the wall is attached to the wall. And this is all, it hasn't taken me much. It's hardly cost me any money and it's given me peace of mind. And this is all because of the Division of Emergency Management and our partnership with them.
It's funny that you said, you got water containers that you can move.
Uh-huh.
My mom has 2 50-gallon water containers that basically need a dolly to move.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, oh, my, there's some water there, but if it becomes inaccessible, it's certainly not movable. So that's another good tip.
I got mine. I'm not pitching Walmart, but I am there about 4 times a week just because it's so close and convenient, and the people who they work there are so awesome. They really, really are. But I got the containers there. They were $6, $7, $8 each, and there's plenty of steps on the Be Ready Utah website and tips and things that action steps that you can take. It's so easy, and I made such a big deal about not doing it for so long that doing it, I was like, I should have done this years ago.
You can learn more at shakeout.org/Utah. Great resource with tips.
Next, Westlake Junior High was pretty much destroyed in the earthquake March of 2020. And they've been rebuilding it. So we're going to get with the Granite School District to see how things are going and what they're doing differently to retrofit and make sure that building is earthquake safe. Next.